believers in Jesus Christ, to worship you, to lift your name on high, to proclaim the gospel, to remind one another of the blessing that we have in Christ. Father, we thank you for eternal life given to us solely through Jesus Christ and through faith in him. We praise you for the work he did at Calvary's cross and the awesome gift. Father, the things that you have shown us in your word and even just the majesties of your creation, all of it is so overwhelming and fills us with awe and praise and thanksgiving to you for all that you are and for all that you have done. May this hour bring joy to your heart as we worship you and lift you up. And may you bless Pastor, fill him with your spirit and guide him as he shares your word with us today. We pray that we will be encouraged, challenged, whatever each one of us needs in our walk with you. And may our joy and our fellowship with you and our relationship with you grow closer, and also our relationship with one another as brothers and sisters here. We do praise you and thank you for our church and pray for your continued blessing upon it. Guide in this hour, we pray. Thank you for your Spirit's presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You
may. Romans chapter 8. It's a wonderful chapter in the Word of God. And we're going to look at the first 17 verses today. Beginning at verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much this morning for your precious word, for these words of consolation and encouragement. There's no condemnation in Christ. We are saved forever and ever and ever by your marvelous grace and mercy. And we thank you and praise you for that. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to each and every heart this morning, that we might be lifted up and encouraged in your sight. And may we honor you and do your will in all things. Lord, we want to serve you. I know so often we fail, but I pray that you'll help us to look to you and to be led by the Spirit of God in such a way that we can bring glory to your name. Our Father, we pray for those who cannot be with us this morning. We think of Josh. We just pray that his foot will heal quickly. We pray for Jane Wagner, that you'll continue to strengthen her day by day and grant that she might have the help that she needs for her life. We just pray for many others, our Father. You know the heart of each and every one. You know the needs that each one has. And we just pray that you'll continue to give healing and strengthening to those who need it. Lord, we just pray today that your Holy Spirit would guide us and lead us in all that we do. We thank you, our Father, for all those who are proclaiming the gospel throughout the world. We pray for our missionaries. We thank you for each and every one of them and pray your blessings upon them that they might have the opportunity to reach many souls for Christ. We think of the situation in our world today. We have conflicts. Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars, and certainly that's the fact. And so we pray that you would undertake concerning all these things and that somehow you might receive glory from it all. Lord, we ask you now to be with us throughout this service that we might honor you and magnify your holy name in everything that we do and say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 8. We're thinking about true victory in Christ, the victory that he gave to us when he purchased purchased us on the cross of Calvary. Now finally, Paul shows us here how to win the battle against sin. He has proceeded very logically through this book, the book of Romans, showing us that everyone is a sinner in God's sight and cannot please him, no matter how hard we may try. We try any other way, it's not going to work, is it? Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." But it goes on to say that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So by accepting Christ as our Savior, the Lord enters into a new relationship with us. We enter into a relationship with him. He is the person now is seen as being dead to sin and alive in Christ. We're dead to the law and delivered from its penalty because Jesus paid the price to set us free. Now we come to chapter 8, where the ministry of the Holy Spirit is emphasized. Until now, he's only been mentioned once throughout the book of Romans. One time the Holy Spirit's mentioned. And in this chapter, he's mentioned 19 times. So you can see the emphasis here. The believer can find true victory through yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing him to guide his life. I have an outline here, a basic outline. It says, first of all, we have no condemnation. That's the beginning part. Then we have no obligation to the flesh. And the last part, that wonderful part, no separation. We'll always be with God throughout all of eternity. And we will be with one another. God requires that man be righteous. Are you righteous this morning? I hope so. Of his own efforts, however, he can never be righteous. We read that a while ago, didn't we? You can't make it on your own. So what must he do? He must allow God to make him righteous in Jesus Christ. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. So here we have the most important thing to think about is that our salvation depends solely, completely upon Jesus Christ and what he has done for us and our faith in him. We put our faith in him and in his sacrifice on the cross, because we cannot make it without him. So in chapter 7, we saw Paul describe the frustration of seeking to do the will of God, but failing. Notice in verse 19 of chapter 7, it says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." Verse 25 says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the Lord of God, law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." We cannot make it on our own. It's all God's work in us. So God has provided the means for our victory over sin. And he has given us his Holy Spirit. Says, you know, we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you walk after the flesh, you will die. If you walk after the Spirit, you will live. Now that's by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing him to give us his strength, his help, and his Holy Spirit. Jesus went away, didn't he? He told his disciples, "I must go away, but I'm going to send you another comforter, another helper, someone to be with you, someone like me that will guide you and help you." And he gave them the Holy Spirit. And we have that same Holy Spirit living in us. Can you think of that? God lives in me. Wow. What do you think, huh? Whew. Not that I'm God by any chance. No, 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 no. But he is here. And he never leaves. Isn't that wonderful? You can't get away from him. He's always with you. You might want to sometimes. Some carnal thought comes to mind and you think, "Hey, I can do this." But he's still there. And if you do it, you're going to get a whipping, right? So anyway, here we have, just as we cannot save ourselves from sin by our own efforts, so we cannot live a holy life by our own efforts. We can't make it. How far would we get trying to make it on our own? Fall flat on your face, right? But the Holy Spirit is there to give us that extra push, to keep us going, to give us the opportunity to live for God and serve him. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the power over sin and enables us to live a righteous life, not a perfect life, but certainly a righteous one. He is able to help us with that. So here in these first verses, we see the provision for our sanctification, our setting apart from sin unto God, right? Our holiness, if you will. It's a word people don't use a whole lot anymore, but certainly something that we need. If God is in us, then we're holy, right? He says that we're saints. We belong to him. We're his. And he provides for us all these things. The Holy Spirit sets us free. We see here there's no condemnation. No judgment. You know? You don't have to worry about it. Because the Holy Spirit is there to strengthen us and to help us. Now to those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no judgment, no condemnation. So therefore, in this verse 1, contrast this state with that found in chapter 7, where Paul described his desperate struggle with sin. If you read chapter 7, you'll see there it's total frustration, right? Until the very end, where he says, I find my help in Christ Jesus. He's the one who is able to see me through all these things. So Paul speaks here in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You see? We are free. Set free from sin and death and all of the consequences of our actions. He has made us free in Christ, the Spirit of life. Jesus is the life, and His Spirit is that of life. And we are set free from the law, the law of commandments that God gave, and all the other kinds of laws of this world. We are set free in our spirits. Now, I don't mean you can go out and break the law. Now, don't get me wrong. No, I'm not talking about that. But we do not depend upon that for our help. Verse 3, for what the law could not do. You know, the law of Moses, the law God gave is perfect. There's nothing wrong with the law. But we could not keep it. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Through the flesh. God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. See, Jesus came, and He overcame the law. He kept the law totally, completely, and gave us the victory, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So, we are set free from the law. We no longer are under the law, but we are set free in the Spirit of God. And so, He has given us the victory that we need. And here Paul is speaking about that. And he says that we overcome all of the principles, not only the law of Moses, but the principles of the world. We can overcome all that through the power of the Holy Spirit that sets us free from sin and death. Notice the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of life, because it is the Spirit who imparts to us eternal life and abundant life. We talked about eternal life in Sunday school this morning, and how once you are saved by the grace of God, you are saved forever, right? Yeah. He doesn't take it back. God's not an Indian giver, as they say, right? He has given us eternal life, and in Him we have life forever. There's nothing to take it away from us in any way. And we can count on that. So as I've seen before, the law is holy. It's just. However, the law could not defeat sin because of the weakness of our flesh, our own desires, you know, human nature as it is. Because man is so weak, the law is perfect, but we cannot attain to it. We cannot keep it completely. But Jesus, He defeated it. He defeated sin. He defeated the law. He overcame it. He lived a perfect life. He never sinned in any way. And God puts that down. He's the perfect man and able to pay for the sins of the world. That's what the scriptures say, isn't it? Jesus died for each and every person if they will only believe in Him. And the law of God is fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We follow his leading. Look with me, if you would, in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. See, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. So we have the victory through Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit that he has given to us. And here we see there's the conflict of the Spirit with the flesh. Beginning here in verse 5, he says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Well, you know that, right? The normal person, natural person, the one who has not been born again, he just wants to do his thing, you know, live his life and have everything the way he likes it. And so there's a conflict there. But the one who has the Holy Spirit of God desires to do God's will. He wants to do the right thing. He wants to serve God. The unbeliever follows his own desires completely. No concern for pleasing God. But the believer desires to do God's will. Huh? That's our desire, isn't it? To do God's will. What is it? I don't always know. But certainly he will indicate it to us if we will show him that we care. Verse 6 says to be carnally minded, fleshly minded. You know, following after the things of this life without any mind for God. Be carnally minded is death. That's the consequence. Dying. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See? If we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and allow him to guide us through life, we'll have life and peace. And rejoice, even here, as we live on this earth. You know? As we yield ourselves to him. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity. I looked it up in the dictionary. It says it's an intense hatred, right, toward God. And we don't want that. It says, I lost my place. Oh, boy. Where was I? I'm going to hear about this, I guess. I shouldn't have looked up, you see. That's my problem. Anyway, I don't see it anymore. We're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in us. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we have here, we do have the Holy Spirit. If we have been saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit has come into our life, and we are led by the Spirit, and we should follow his directions. So he lives in every true believer and has a certain influence in each and every life. We need to follow the teachings that he gives to us. Jesus said he'll lead you into all truth, right? Just keep listening to God, reading the word, and praying, seeking his face, and following the teachings that he gives to us. Notice we find that we are debtors to the Spirit of God. You know, we don't talk a lot about the Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is here primarily to glorify Jesus, right? Jesus left him here as his the one to lead us on after he left the earth. And now we are debtors to the Spirit. Verse 12, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So, there we have it. We are debtors to the Holy Spirit of God. We have no obligation to the old sinful nature. We don't need to go back and go through any of that. The debt has been paid and we are set free. You know? What is it that saves us? Huh? What do you think? Isn't it what Jesus did for us? You know, he died on the cross to take away our sins. He's made himself a sacrifice that we might be saved by his grace and mercy and have everlasting life through believing in him. And he says, if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if you live through the Spirit, putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So we have here, we're called upon to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit and allow him to control our lives. You know, some people don't want to do that, I guess. They want to do their own thing, right? But he says, no, yield yourself unto the Lord. Allow him to be the one to guide you. Follow his teachings, follow his urgings, and you will be blessed. The word translated sons here in verse 14, notice, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And the word sons here is a term that means a mature person. A child that is mature enough to take on adult family privileges and responsibility. It's the sons of God. And then we see in further on down, verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, looking unto God as our dear Father, our heavenly daddy, if you will. And the Spirit itself, or himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, the second word here, the children of God, is the word technon, which means one born, a child. Not as in verse 14, the sons, we us. But this is a little child, one who is dependent upon someone else. And here, we are dependent upon the Lord. If children, we are the children of God. Who is better to be dependent on? What do you think? Huh? We're the children of God. and we can depend upon Him for everything that we need as little children. It talks about, you know, over in 1 Peter, about the ones who, when they're first saved, they feed upon the milk of the Word until such a time as they are able to take on more. And here, the Spirit of God will lead us into deeper and deeper things as we look to Him in our life day by day. So He is able to take a child and turn him into a son, in the sense of having more maturity and guiding us along the way. And here we have the Holy Spirit, that we have the assurance, we have the assurance through Him that we are the children of God. He's the one who makes it plain to us that, yes, you are a child of God. And we can depend upon Him to give us the right information. And verse 17 says, and if children, then heirs. Okay. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So here we're joint heirs with Christ. Because we belong to Him. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. And we, our inheritance is the same as His, right? He's going to inherit all things, and we in Him. Joint heirs. Our destiny is wrapped up in Him. There will be times of suffering. He says that. You know, that's the wonderful thing about God's Word. It doesn't blank out anything, right? It doesn't hide anything. There you go. He tells us the truth. If you're a Christian, He says you're going to be suffering. So, why are we surprised when suffering comes? We might as well accept it, right? If we suffer with Him, we will be glorified together with Him. You know? So here we have this wonderful truth. There will be times of suffering, but they will ultimately be a glorious eternity for all of those who believe in Him. We're looking forward to that, aren't we? The King is coming.
Amen.
We're looking forward to Him. And we will go to be with Him forevermore. So God has provided a way for us to live a life of holiness, not in our own strength, no. And you don't have to, you know, go around dressed head to toe in some kind of conservative clothes or something like that. You can if you want to. But that's not what we're talking about when we say holiness. Every time I think about holiness, I see this picture of this person, you know, with no smile, right? Never smile if you're holy. Oh my. No, that's not it. We can be joyful in the Lord, can't we? We can just know that He is with us to help us and give us that strength to keep on going, yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit and following in the way that He leads. This is the way that we can be delivered from defeat. We can have eternal life and rejoice in all of that. I have a little outline here. It says how to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, he says. Be Christ-centered. That's in Philippians 1:21. Let's look at that. I'm finishing up a little early, so I'm going to go a little. Philippians 1:21. Let's take a look there for a minute. It says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. See, our whole life should be centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. To live is Christ. To die is gain. So once we leave this world, we'll be in better condition. The second thing is be in the Word of God. We need that so much. This is in Colossians 3:16. It says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. See, be in the Word of God and rejoice. Singing. We do a lot of singing on Sunday night usually, right? Why don't you come on out and join with us, huh? Yes, if you can. I know you can't always do it. But anyway, spend time singing. You know? Even at home. You know, if something comes to your mind, sing. Go ahead and sing. Nothing wrong with it. They'll think you're nuts. You know, I'm always accused of talking to myself, which I do. But I also talk to the Lord. And I sing the songs as they come to my mind. And that's something that we need to do. Be in the Word of God. Make it a part of your life. Be submissive. This is Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Be submissive to the Lord. 5, 8, 10. Let's see here. It says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is it. Be submissive and be filled with the Spirit of God, singing and rejoicing in Him. Okay, then the last one I've got here is back to Romans 8, where we were. It's be confident as we know that we are in the Holy Spirit, we are in God, and we can trust Him for everything that we need. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We can be confident of our salvation and know that He is leading and helping us. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your precious word to our hearts today. We just pray that you will encourage us and help us to know that we are your children by faith in Jesus Christ, and that we have the Holy Spirit guiding us and leading us each and every day. May we do your will in all things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.